Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Well, I just got a ton of emails from so many of you over the past couple of days concerning two stories that we've been talking about. One we've been talking about, one we have not been talking about on the podcast, but two stories everybody is talking about. The first being Ralph Jarl, the 16-year-old boy from the Northland in Kansas City, Missouri, who was shot on Friday night while approaching a door or ringing a doorbell at the wrong house. We'll get to that in a moment. The other story is the Bud Light controversy, and many of you disappointed with me that I don't have a tougher stance on Bud Light, and we'll address that coming up in just a couple of moments as well. We'll start with the case of Ralph Jarl, the 16-year-old boy who pulled into a driveway on 115th Street instead of 115th Terrace on Friday night to pick up siblings and rang the doorbell. This is not in dispute, and I'm going to do this in a unique way today, because you're not able to consume this or get this anywhere else like you're going to hear it right here on this podcast. I'm going to give this story twice. And I'm not going to read anything to you. I'm going to give you the facts of the story twice in order to demonstrate exactly what's going on. And ultimately, the reason that I have not spoken about this case until now is I had to have some facts. I had to know a little bit about what happened, because we weren't getting any of that. It was just, okay, this happened, and everybody now jumps to conclusion. It is absolutely insane. So I'll give you this in a couple of different ways, and we'll start first with the fact that, let's just do the story this way. Andrew Lester is an 84-year-old man who was sleeping on Friday night when he was awakened by a sound of his doorbell. Living alone and being of older age and being in not a completely remote area, but not people all the way around him, he awakened from his sleep and grabbed his .32 pistol by his side and went to the door to answer the door. According to Lester, he opened the first door and saw a man much bigger than him, or what he thought was a man much bigger than him, pulling on the secondary door, the glass door, the screen door, trying to get into his house. Lester says he was scared to death at that point of the man coming into his house and fired two shots. He then called 911 and called the police. As he watched the man stagger away, the man went to three different houses, not felled by these shots, three different houses to receive help, as Lester called 911 and asked for the cops to come help him, as he thought he was in danger. Police arrived. They found the man who was at the front door, and it turned out to be a minor, 16-year-old Ralph Jarl, high school junior, who was at the wrong house attempting to pick up siblings. They took him to the hospital. This has been a couple of days now. He was grazed in the head. He was grazed in the arm. He was treated a couple of days and released. He has been sent home after walking to three different houses to get help after being shot. Since then, authorities have now arrested Andrew Lester on felony charges. And bystanders have come by Lester's house and egged his house and spray-painted his house. Missouri has a stand-your-ground law, which allows anyone that feels threatened or in danger on their property, that is scared to death or frightened for their life, to shoot people on their property and defend themselves. The defendant says the person was pulling on his door, and as he had just awakened from his slumber, he couldn't see in the darkness, fired a couple of shots, and called the police. That's one way to hear the story. The other way to hear the story is the way you're hearing it everywhere. And that is, let's go live now to the scene of the shooting of a teenager who simply rang the wrong doorbell before a homeowner opened fire on him, shooting him multiple times. The victim is in the hospital continuing a long recovery after being shot in the head. My God, it sounds so horrible. And shot in the arm. The victim, a 16-year-old who plays in the marching band, wants to go to Texas A&M and be an engineer, mechanical engineer. Hollywood celebrities have spoken out because the 16-year-old boy is black and the 84-year-old homeowner is white. There is a racial component to this story. Halle Berry has commented. Justin Timberlake has commented. Joe Biden has invited the 16-year-old to the White House. Ben Crump, national social justice lawyer, has been hired about this hate case of a black kid who rang the doorbell of a white man and got shot for no other reason than ringing the doorbell and being black. He had no weapon and posed no threat. There is a national outrage. There are people protesting in the street. There are good people lashing back at the homeowner. They have spray painted things on his house. Eggs have been tossed at the house. We must disarm hate. There were vigils. There are demonstrations. It is a national story. In fact, it is the lead news of a national story because we have a hate crime here with a racial component. An 84-year-old white man shooting for no reason an unarmed black man at his door. Because, of course, he's racist. Now, we leave out this component. Both, this is such a hate crime, such a racial crime. There is so much danger. There is so much danger of this. This is so hateful that Andrew Lester has been released in his home and Ralph Jarl has been released in his home. And apparently authorities believe there is no threat that Andrew Lester is going to do anything to Ralph Jarl. Because of course he's not. Look, it is too early to pick sides. This is a really tricky situation. You have a responsibility, certainly, as a gun owner to use it properly. The law says in Missouri very clearly that whatever the threshold is of how you use or legally have a gun is lowered a great deal when you're on your own property and you feel threatened. You're not a trained cop. You're not asked to be a trained cop. You're not asked to have a flashlight and shine it in the face. You're not asked to identify, hey, does this person have a gun or a knife? If somebody you believe is pulling at the door, and this seems reasonable, here's the plausible part of this story to me. If you have double doors, or if you've ever had double doors, somebody rings the doorbell, you open your inside door, and if the young man thought his siblings were inside the house, it is very reasonable for someone on the porch to then open the outside door and start to say hello or to come in. You're engaging somebody at the door, you see him. I understand the young man was posing no threat. I understand he was probably like, hey, my siblings are here. I came to pick them up. Do I have the wrong house? I could see somebody grabbing I've grabbed the outside door of people's houses before as they've opened the inside door. I'll think about it twice now. I could see that happening. The young man says it doesn't happen. They were able to interview him. They were able to interview the man in the home because Ralph Jarl wasn't hurt that badly. It's terrible to get shot twice. It's uncommonly lucky to only be grazed in the head and grazed in the arm and be able to walk to three houses and get help after this has happened. So there's a miracle. There's a great component. Perhaps a third story should be on this Tuesday. Great news. 16-year-old Ralph Jarl is home after receiving treatment in the hospital. Luckily, only being grazed in the head and grazed in the arm after an incident Friday night at an 84-year-old man's house in Liberty or the Northland, Kansas City, Missouri North. I mean, there's a hell of a great outcome to this story. It is two people that clearly made mistakes. I don't believe Andrew Lester. Come on. What we really have to ask here was, did he have intent to shoot somebody because they were black? Let's just get past this and let's know what happens in the media. And we're watching these stories. All right. That is absolute and utter BS. All right. That is not plausible. Was he more frightened because he saw a black man? Maybe. I'll entertain that. I'll listen to that all day long. But did he say to himself, there's a black man. No, I'm sorry. Two shots. Dead. Black man at my house. You're shot. You're dead. Well, he didn't shoot him dead. He obviously wasn't a very good shot. The mugshot of the old man shows that he has one eye that's only half open. It looks like he has some sort of a visual impairment as well. I don't know what the laws say about owning and operating a gun in your own home if you are somewhat disabled with sight or whatever. I just don't know how. I would think that would be the person who would need a gun more than anyone. He lives alone. There's nobody else there to help him. And I think it is more than plausible that this man thought this person was coming in the house to do something wrong. I think that's reasonable. It was not the case, clearly not the case. But it is reasonable to put yourself in the position of the homeowner and say, what the hell's going on here? You're asleep and your doorbell rings on a Friday night and you get to the door and you open the door and you have your gun and you think somebody's opening the outside door. He said he's pulling on the door, so I'm assuming that door was locked too. When he went to bed, I'm going to guess that glass door was locked and the young man was pulling on it. Or according to the homeowner, that's what was happening. Doesn't mean that's what was happening. Jarl says he wasn't pulling on any door, that they never spoke and he just got shot. So from his standpoint, it sounds awful too. He simply went to the wrong house. He had no intent to do anything wrong. He got to the door. Unfortunately, he went to the house of an old man who was asleep. Woke up, was probably still a little confused from his slumber, was frightened and fired. There's no side to choose here. There's only one reasonable thing to say about this. It is absolutely ridiculous, embarrassing, lazy, and awful for our country to immediately rush to judgment and call this a race crime. And for Justin Timberlake and Halle Berry to say, arrest that man, justice needs to be served. And Joe Biden to politicize it and say, we want to bring Ralph Jarl, the young man, to the White House. It is absolutely a complete and utter embarrassment what has happened in this country. We don't know the facts. This hasn't gone to trial. Nobody knows anything about this thing yet other than what the two sides have said. People need to calm the blank down right now. Stop gathering in the streets. No justice at this point for anybody. That's not, let's just take a break. Innocent until proven guilty is the law. It's the law, innocent until proven guilty. And this is what the left does. They organize immediately. They try to convince America with lead stories all over the country. The entire nation is talking about this story. And what most people get is the snippet, either on Twitter or the headline in their website that they go to or whatever, and it is all just being described as racist white dude shoots 16-year-old kid for no reason. Now, how has this man gone 84 years as a racist without doing harm to any other black people? And then the night when he's 84 years old and he goes to the door, you really don't believe his story that he thought somebody was trying to come in his house? You don't believe that? Okay, maybe we'll learn he has Alzheimer's. Maybe he's completely discombobulated and confused and they'll put him in a hospital and maybe he is locked up the rest of his life, but maybe it's more medical treatment than anything else. There could be all kinds of things in play here that nobody knows about. I am pretty damn sure that the fact that he was black is not the reason that he just shot him. I'm pretty sure anybody that he thought was trying to come into his house, male, female, young, old, race didn't matter. This old man had a gun. This old man lived scared, right? Not scared, but lived saying, I'm alone. I need protection. That's not living scared. You have that right in this country. Missouri has incredibly strong stand your ground laws that will be tested here. And to me, the big question here is intent. What was the intent? What did the homeowner think the intent was? And I'm telling you right now, I'm not 84 and I don't live alone. I still get scared when I go to the door at night. Somebody rings my doorbell after dark, it's got my attention. It just does. It's different than daytime. It rings all the time during the day. Amazon guy rings it. FedEx guy rings it. Neighbors come by. If I left my pitching wedge in the yard or something and they saw it because I was out chipping golf balls and left it laying out there, they bring it back. You know, your neighbors come by. Somebody got the wrong mail. They come by, they ring your doorbell. You don't think anything of it during the day. If I'm laying in bed, I'm going to tell you right now, who among us, if you're laying in bed sleeping at 10 o'clock on a Friday night, 11 o'clock on a Friday night, whatever time you go to bed, you've just laid down, you're going to sleep, and your doorbell rings, who among us is not a little bit frightened at that point? You're at least thinking something bad is happening. You may be thinking, somebody's at the door to tell me something bad happened down the street, or the house next door is on fire, or, you know, even if it's a friendly person, you know who they are, it's not good. Something is wrong if your doorbell is ringing at that time of night. And that is the first thought this man has. His first instinct is to grab his gun. I'm in bed. It's Friday night. Somebody's ringing my doorbell. This is not good. That's where this story begins. And nobody in any media anywhere want to address that. They don't want to look at it and say, let's just try to figure out what happened here. And I can't tell you whether this is a crime or not. This man committed. It may well be. It may well be. I don't know what the Stand Your Ground law says. I would think it says something like, if you have, you know, strong reason to be frightened, you have the right to stand your ground. And does the law say the person has to have a knife or a gun on him for you to shoot? I don't know. Do you have to be like a cop and identify whether the person, this is the disadvantage the cops have, and they have it for a reason. They have to identify that somebody's a threat with a knife or a gun before they can do anything. Do homeowners have the same responsibility? I don't know. I don't know. The facts in this case are not in doubt. This man was at home. He was asleep. This young person was on his property. They didn't know each other. And then the incident happened. There's no opinion to give here other than it is a complete and utter embarrassment what our media do in this country and what the left does to cases like this. They have just been waiting for a case like this. You know they wait for these cases. They can't wait to have another one of these and politicize it. They cannot wait. And the family is all in. The Uro family is all in. The mom's all in. She's doing interviews. They've hired Ben Crump, this national lawyer. They're going to come here. They're going to have news conferences. This is going to be a big story. They're going to get this guy. They're going to get a pound of flesh and make sure this 84-year-old man can never sleep in his bed again. Because his crime was what? Going to bed at 10 o'clock on a Friday night and getting scared? I don't know. Listen, our society is twisted. If you cannot in some way have some compassion for somebody that's 84 and lives alone that is frightened, just because you're 84 does not mean it's time for you to die. Okay, a lot of people will look at a story like this and forget the race component. They'll say, 16-year-old, 84-year-old. Well, okay, the 84-year-old is scared if something bad happened to him. If somebody broke into his house and killed him at 84, that's not the saddest story in the world. A 16-year-old is much sadder. Well, really? How about all the 16-year-olds that are getting shot dead in Kansas City? We got all kinds of teen deaths this year. Black-on-black crime. We got all kinds of them. Nobody gives a flip. Ben Crump ain't here. The Uro family doesn't care. There's no demonstrations. They've stopped. There's so many homicides in Kansas City, Missouri, and so many black people being killed by other black people. It's not even something you see on the news and even think about. It's just gone. They can't wait for this story. This is the story they want. They want to pounce on this, and they have. I don't know if irony is the right word. Coincidence is probably the better word. The next night in New York, rural New York, an area where there are dirt roads, a man lives, and nobody comes by. Except on Saturday night at 10:30 in the total darkness, a car pulled in his driveway. The man grabbed his gun and walked out of the home. Didn't recognize the car, was expecting nobody. Nobody ever comes by. This is not a neighborhood. This is a rural area with dirt roads. The car had four people in it, and they apparently were in his driveway at the wrong address, identical situation, and attempting at this point, I guess, to turn around or do something. The man fired shots at the car to get them to go away. As he fired a shot, he hit a woman in the car. The car sped off, went to the next nearby town, which was a few miles away, and they called 911. Nobody ever got out of the car. Nobody ever spoke. The man shot a woman as he shot at the car, and she is dead. The man's name is Kevin Monahan. He's younger, 58 years old, I think it said. And I have no idea what the laws are in New York. But this is, I don't know, 100 times worse than what the old man did. You left your house. You didn't sit by a window and say, okay, what's up with this car? Let's see what happens. Because most people, I would think, and I've got relatives that live in rural areas, and they've told me stories of people that have approached their house that aren't supposed to be there. And they, generally speaking, watch them turn around and leave. They get lost. They pull in a driveway, whatever. I'm certain this man would have had people pull in his driveway through the years, lost, turn around and leave. He didn't stay at his window to see what was going on. These people would have clearly pulled back out and turned around. He didn't do that. He went outside with his gun. I don't see a reasonable threat. People in a car. You may be thinking, rural area, there's four of them. There's one of me. If they get out, I'm in trouble here. I don't know. It doesn't seem to me like anywhere near the same case as a mishap with somebody sleeping and somebody comes to your door and they're right there in front of you and you think they're trying to come in. This seems like two totally different deals. This man's been arrested, Kevin Monahan, for murder. And that happened on his property. These things happen. Maybe the headline here and the story nobody's talking about is America's on edge. Let's be honest. All this defund the police stuff going on, there is no help. You got to be your own help now. This is the Wild West again. I think millions of Americans believe there is no help around the corner. While the police are great and they would help me, they can't get here in time to help me. Sorry, if somebody's at my house, the police can't help me. I'm on my own here to help myself. Calling 911 is great, and maybe this man should have called 911 before he stepped outside, or maybe you know, we want to sit here and judge Andrew Lester and say, well, he should have had a Ring camera and should have been able to look and see who's at the door or what was going on, or just called 911 if he didn't like what was going on at the door. You can say that, but the man is 84. You think he's going to have a Ring camera and an iPhone and know how to do that? That's not the world he grew up in. My mom couldn't do that if she tried. I'm not very good at it. I'm 58. Jessica runs our Ring cameras. All the security cameras we have are on her phone. She monitors all those, and they frustrate the heck out of her. But we've got them. We've got them, and they operate. But it's not my thing. If somebody rang my doorbell in the middle of the night, I wouldn't grab my phone and look on my phone and see who was there. I'd have to wake her and see if she could do it. I don't know. I just, we need perspective on these things. People need to slow down. And, you know, when you're a 40-year-old black social justice attorney or race baiting attorney, depending on how you want to say it, and Crump's older than that, but if that's who you are and that's the world you live in, you don't give any kind of compassion to an 84-year-old man who lives alone and say, well, what? You know, this is easy for someone to say, well, he should have had a camera. He should have been able to see who was there. He should have known that it was a kid and this was no threat. No. That's too high of a bar. You can't do that with people. You can't. This was a terribly unfortunate thing that happened. Nobody's right. Nobody's wrong. It very clear. It is obvious. The young man made a mistake and was at the wrong door. And the homeowner made a mistake and shot somebody that was unarmed. There are double mistakes here. There are double mistakes. This is not some cut and dry deal. And to just make a national story out of race and our freaking ridiculous president. Okay, we'll get to the Bud Light thing in a moment. You people want me to be as upset about the Bud Light trans can as stuff like this? Joe Biden has already invited this kid to the White House. It makes me sick that that's what the left does. It just drives me crazy that that's what they do in this country. That they're dividing people. They're stoking hate. They want people to hate each other. They're trying to turn white people into racists. It's what they want. They want this. And unfortunately, people on the left that are black don't understand it. They want murders. They want white people killing black people for political gain. They want black people dying and getting shot by white people so they can gain politically. That's what they want. And for some reason, black people in this country can't see it. But that's really what they want. They want white people to shoot. This whole thing just makes me sick. The best resolution to this story, what would be really remarkable, is if the two of them got together. If Andrew Lester reached out and said, I want to see Ralph. I want to apologize. And I want to tell him I was really scared and didn't know what to do and I panicked. And Ralph to say, man, I'm so glad you didn't hit me in the chest or whatever. We can find common ground here. I'm sorry I scared you. I'm sorry I was at your door. That would be a great Hollywood movie. And the message would be anti-race. There is no racism. You could write, this could be a hell of a movie of an incident like this happening and all hell breaking loose and demonstrations and egging the houses and all these different things that are going on. People jump to the conclusion. It could be a deep dive into media, our culture, our social nature, what we have become, and rising above the story behind the scenes with nobody knowing it would be the homeowner and the young man becoming friends. How great would that movie be? And how good would you feel walking out of the theater after seeing that movie? Watching the media meltdown, watching politicians go crazy, watching demonstrators throw eggs at this man's house. You get the feel-good story of the boy isn't hurt that bad. He's home. He befriends the homeowner. They become friends. And nobody in the media wants to report it. And no politician wants to talk about it. That would be the greatest movie ever. And whether you're black, white, young, old, does male, female, doesn't matter. You would walk out of that theater and go, wow, there is hope for humanity. Wouldn't that be the greatest thing ever? Wouldn't this be a hell of a movie if it had a happy ending and they became friends? Think about that for a second. Because I'm going to guess that Andrew Lester has absolutely nothing against Ralph Jarl and would love that young man. And I'm going to guess that young man, when he met Andrew Lester, would think, well, this guy could be my grandpa. I get it. He's 84. Most people have compassion for 84-year-olds. Most people have compassion for 16-year-olds. What if the two of them rose above the entire thing? Wouldn't that be the greatest statement on our brain-dead society if that happened? Here's a movie script here. It's a fabulous movie script. It's not going to happen in the real world because Andrew Lester is in real legal trouble. So it's not going to happen. He can't. He can't apologize. If he apologizes, he admits he did something wrong and he goes to jail for the rest of his life. Ugh, it's a crazy story. That's why I waited. Got to get some facts with this story and some context. KKHI is brought to you by BStock.net in Olathe. Right now, business owners, they have 50-inch sharp commercial displays for just $200. They got to go. They're great for menus in your restaurant, offices, gas stations, etc. They can run 24/7. They never turn off. They're not a normal TV. They're a digital display. Buy four or more and get free shipping. They'll send them anywhere in the country or anywhere in the area. $200 each, 50-inch sharp commercial displays at bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. Amini's Galleria, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park's outdoor furniture tent sale continues this week through Sunday. 60 months, free financing, no interest. I've known R. Ash Amini for almost 25 years now. They have a great selection of rugs, game room, tables. Of course, they have pool tables, shuffleboard. I got a shuffleboard table at Amini's a little over a year ago. Golden tee, pinball machines, really cool stuff. Hot tubs and saunas. But right now, it's the outdoor furniture tent sale. Be sure and ask about O.W. Lee. The order time on O.W. Lee furniture is not as long as they thought. It's looking like about 8 weeks on it. It is the best outdoor furniture on the planet. It is not cheap. You will never buy outdoor furniture again. It will last your lifetime. Never sat in anything more comfortable. It is the best outdoor furniture anywhere. They have several other brands at different price points, folks. They got everything at Amini's. So go on in there and check it out. And that's not just in Overland Park. It's also St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City. Online at aminis.com. And Tickets for Less is featuring NFL draft packages, limited supply. This is executive VIP type stuff for the draft next Thursday night. This is high-end exclusivity right by the stage in the main theater. All your food and beverage included. You are part of the draft. You're up on a riser. You're not down on the main floor. You're up on a riser above it all. You have a perfect view of everything. Draft VIP is the promo code if you go to ticketsforless.com. Or the better deal is just call them. 913-685-3322. That's 685-3322. Mention KKHI, and they're going to give you a discount on these NFL draft packages, limited supply. They're going to go. They're going to get sold. So you better call now, 913-685-3322, and mention the podcast when you do, KKHI. All right, on to the Bud Light emails, and I got one here. I won't use the name, but this is the example I'm going to use. I got about 10 emails of people mad that I'm not mad enough at Bud Light, and I am mad at Bud Light. Don't get me wrong. And I think you have every right to boycott it. And I don't buy Bud Light, so it doesn't really affect me that much. They did a stupid thing. They did a massive company with many brands, had one marketing person for one brand do something really stupid that is offensive and wrong. And I think they should pay for it. And I think it's funny as hell that they are. And I love the fact that their sales are down and their stock is down. Their stock is still 13% higher than it was 2 months ago. They're not hurting. They haven't been hurt yet. They may get hurt. If this is long-term, they may get hurt. And that's okay too. All's fair. The best point of all this is, the best point to me is, other companies are watching going, whoa, we better be careful here on this issue. They are. To me, that's cool. This gentleman sends me an email and says, it's completely clear, Kevin, that your passive nature is what's blinding you to the bigger picture here. Like it or not, we're in a culture war. And in a war, you must get down in the mud with your enemies and get dirty. You point out we don't want to be like the left, which is true. However, that's how we got here. Just rolling over and getting trampled because we are better than that. So far, I'm with him completely. I agree with everything you've said here. You ask, what can Bud Light do at this point? Well, how about apologize to their base? They alienated the people who built their success. You yourself pointed out they've always been pro-American values and tradition. Then they turn around and piss on everyone they supposedly represent. As far as why we are so upset, I'm not an anti-trans bigot. I have no hate in my heart for anyone or anything. What I do hate is nonsense. Women like your wife, my mother, daughter, sister, they deserve to be celebrated. Not someone who's pretending to understand everything it takes to be a woman their whole life. Influencer or not, if Bud Light wanted to celebrate women, it should celebrate all women. I agree. I couldn't agree more. P.S. I've been boycotting Bud Light my whole life because it's gross. So I don't see a need to stop now. All right, so here's a guy that didn't drink it to begin with. So no sacrifice there. I've drank many Bud Lights in my days, and I have no problem drinking a Bud Light as, you know, the kind of beer I would drink. I'm not drinking it now, and I'm certainly not buying it or stocking it at my house for people. I'm mad too. He says, sorry for the long-winded email, but it's okay. Your points are taken beautifully. Here's why I believe what I believe about Bud Light. Whatever happens to them, happens to them. And I support it completely. Kid Rock shooting up cans, Travis Tritt not having it on his road show, you boycotting it forever and never buying it again, all fair game. I support all that. I also support people that say, you know what? It was a one-off and it doesn't represent the corporation and I can probably forgive them. If not today, then over time. So here's what I responded to the emailer. I'm 100% behind you boycotting them for life and totally understand. They're paying a heavy price for a stupid mistake, and I think the positives here are what a lot of conservatives are missing. This serves as notice to other companies to tread lightly on issues like this, and I'm thrilled so many people have stood up and said that's enough and I'm done with them. I haven't purchased anything Nike. This is me writing to him. I haven't purchased anything Nike for 10 years, and I never will. However, in the last election, the CEO of Nike backed a Republican for governor in their state of Oregon. It's progress, but I still haven't purchased anything and I won't. I think Nike's sins are 10 times what Bud Light did. Think of it this way. Instead of Nike Corp or Disney Corporation totally taking a corporate stance, let's say just one of their products, like running shoes, asked a trans runner to support them on a TikTok video. Well, that's dumb and it would piss a lot of people off, but it wasn't their golf apparel division or their K-State or Missouri clothing or whatever. Should you never buy Nike golf or your college stuff again? The difference is Nike Corporation supported Colin Kaepernick and signed him to a full endorsement deal for millions of dollars and mass marketed an anthem kneeler that wears Castro t-shirts and loves communism. To me, this is way, way worse than some stupid marketing exec sending funky cans to a trans and paying him $10,000 to do a TikTok video. Bud Light is paying a higher price than companies like Nike that are literally anti-American, and I guess I just don't see the two as same. I don't see the two as the same thing. I don't, and I won't. I don't like either one of them, but Nike's sins are far worse than Bud Light. We're forgetting that Anheuser-Busch is the corporation. Bud Light is the product. Nike's the corporation. Running shoes are the product. Bud Light's just one of their beers. It is not a corporate stance. Their CEO is a former Marine and a CIA recruiter, for crying out loud. You won't find a lot of companies, especially companies that are owned by, they're publicly traded, a foreign company. They were bought by what, Belgians, InBev? You won't find a lot more companies dedicated to Americana than Anheuser-Busch. They made a terrible mistake. One person made a terrible mistake. They made a terrible hire. They put the wrong person in charge of the brand. Her job was to go get women to drink Bud Light, which is admirable. And I agree with the emailer who said, celebrate women. They should have done it. They should have done all great kinds of great things. National Women's Month, whatever. They should have run commercial after commercial with singers and athletes and politicians and, you know, all kinds of women that are wonderful role models. They should have done that and celebrated them and figured it all out in advance. Said, we want to celebrate women in an ad campaign. But you don't celebrate men that dress like women. There have been no surgeries here. That's a man with makeup on. That's all it is. You call yourself a transgender. We used to call them cross-dressers or, you know, whatever. It's absurd. It was a dumb, stupid mistake. They're paying the price, and I think it's funny as hell they're paying the price. I have no problem with them paying the price. Zero. News from Montana. They have made it illegal to download the TikTok app. I don't know what they're going to do or how they're going to enforce it. You can't just walk up to people and take their phone and say, do you have it? But it is illegal now to download the TikTok app. That leads me to believe more kids in Montana will download the TikTok app. We'll follow that one and see what happens. The Missouri State House has approved a bill banning trans athletes. Girls. I'm sorry, I'm reading that wrong. The Missouri House approved a bill banning trans athletes from competing in girls and women's sports, grade 6 and up. The Senate previously passed a bill, sent it over to the House for approval, but they didn't like it because it was too harsh. This one is grade 6 and up. So they're basically saying if you have a 7-year-old that puts lipstick on and wants to play, we'll allow it. We're going to, starting at about age 11 is where we're going to say that's enough. Can't do it. That includes public schools, private schools. I'll say it. The way I'm reading this bill, they're going to kick it over to the Senate. The Senate will probably sign it. This thing passed whoppingly by the way, 104 to 46. This tells me that my plan for the Kansas City Current to win a championship is over. In Missouri, they will not be allowed, even the Kansas City Current, a private organization, will not be allowed now to go, damn it, hire some men's soccer players to wear lipstick and win games. They can't do it. They can't hire men to dress like Dylan Mulvaney and win. God, I was so looking forward to winning a championship. I wanted that. It looked so easy. Let's just go get some retired MLS players, pay them a bunch of money, have them put wigs on, and go play. It would have been making a mockery of this is where it ends, you know. I know this sounds silly when I say it. What I'm suggesting, making a mockery of this thing is where it ends. In other words, if the owners of the KC Current had a strong political leaning, that we want to protect the women that play for our team and don't allow men to come into this league, the best way to do that would be to make a farce of it. Go hire some men for one game and go out there and beat somebody 9-0 and show everybody how absurd it is. That's the best way, in my opinion. That would be the best way. Now it's illegal, or it's not yet. Missouri House has passed it. It could be illegal soon in Missouri for the KC Current to do that. I want to thank our friends at Back 9 Development for being a great sponsor of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. TJ Vilkanskis is a good dude, man. He's just a great guy, and he's a tremendous, his company is so good at custom home building development projects. If you are in the game or you own some land and think it might be prime for development, he'd like to hear from you. Yes, indeed. 785-236-0161. Online at back9development.com, back9development.com. Anywhere in the Kansas City area, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, rural areas, TJ would love to speak with you about what your dream is. No more complicated than that. You got an idea? He'd like to make it happen for you. Back 9 Development, 785-236-0161. This is a great American company. Family owned and operated. 785-236-0161. TJ and his family at back9development.com. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC. My buddy Spencer over at Finch Knife Company, when I saw him at the restaurant on Sunday, said that he just got his new GMC Sierra from Roberts Robinson. Said it was so easy. He never went to Excelsior Springs. He lives in Southern Overland Park. They handled the whole thing, delivered the car to his driveway, signed the papers electronically right there. Done dealio, had it delivered, man. Nobody makes it happen like Roberts Robinson. He said, this was just incredible, Kev. And he was speaking glowingly of his customer service experience. And I think that's fantastic. Roberts Robinson does things differently than a lot of the dealers in the city. They just do. They know that if you live in Lee's Summit, that driving to Excelsior Springs is a little bit of a haul. They know if you live in Lawrence, that's a haul. If they've got the car or you want to order the car through them, they'll have it built and deliver it right to your driveway. They send a sales rep and everything. They give you the entire introduction to your car. You know how they show you how everything works. They do all that at your house. It's incredible. These folks are the best. RobertsRobinson.com. 816-826-1563. Ask for Tim. Tim is the general sales manager there, and he would love to hook you up. They're also the home of the lifetime warranty. So my buddy Spencer over at Finch Knife Company got the lifetime warranty absolutely included. No charge. Really strong. Shop online. Deliver at home. Build your own. 0% financing available. Low interest rates available as well on all things Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC. We are professional grade. And a reminder that if you order something from MyPillow, we'd be honored if you used the promo code KKHI. Nothing more to add there. Oh, the MyPillow Mattress Topper 2.0 is out. Just came out this week. We got an email from them yesterday. It's now on their website. A brand new mattress topper that is cooler. It has that same fabric on the outside that the MyPillow 2.0 has. A cooler, a cooling mattress topper. This is remarkable. These things were $365 with the promo code KKHI. $219 to freshen up the top of your mattress and sleep better. You should try this. If you don't like your mattress right now and you're thinking about spending thousands on a new bed, try the mattress topper first. You may just love this thing. $219. MyPillow.com with the promo code KKHI. The MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper. Cool stuff. Royals lost. They are 1-10 at home. They got shut out on one hit. They got a chance to be the worst team in Royals history. They have 100 losses written all over them. They're 4-13 to start the year. The game started last night with 200 Dozier errors, a throwing error, and then a bobbled ball. Then, of course, a dude comes up and hits a three-run homer, and it's 3-0 Texas before Tucker Carlson's interview with Elon Musk has even started at 7 o'clock. It was brutal. Oh, not the interview. It was fine. Tucker and Elon were fine. We'll talk more about it as the week goes on. Many of you are still catching up to see it all. It was really good. Very interesting. But the Royals stink. They stink in a way that I don't remember them stinking because the game, the Royals had no runs, one hit, two errors, and it was only 2 hours and 2 minutes and it was over. The game was over at 8:42 last night. The Royals were dispatched quickly. So at least when watching or buying a ticket, you don't have to watch the misery for long. I don't know what's happening with the Royals here. I think now building a stadium, I think they're equal questions. Will the Royals build a downtown stadium for $2 billion or will they move? I think they're basically equal questions. There was nobody at the game last night. Nobody. When the Royals were really bad, when David Glass owned them, I still feel like the community felt like, okay, there's something there. David Glass had resume. He'd run Walmart. People understood that he was a good businessman. He was really good friends with the commissioner of baseball. They were working on changing baseball, getting revenue sharing for smaller markets. He had a plan. People were looking at it going, okay, this guy has a plan for what he's going to do. I don't think anybody feels good about John Sherman. Let's be honest. I just don't. I think they love that Patrick Mahomes is an owner. I think that's actually made it worse for John Sherman. I think having Eric Stone Street, Patrick Mahomes, and all these celebrities involved in this thing is bad for business. I think it makes it look like a comedy. They all got together and bought some real estate or a comedy club or something like that. We bought a resort. We're running this bed and breakfast. No, what are you doing? You got a baseball team. It doesn't seem like John Sherman knows what he's doing. It doesn't. And when he decided to make a change with his organization, I'll do more on this as the summer continues. When he decided to make a change with his organization, he didn't really make a change. He's got rid of Dayton Moore, brought in J.J. Piccolo with pretty much the same staff and philosophy. They fired the manager and brought in a new guy that's not tough on his players. And now we see him slacking. We see him not trying very hard. And that stinks. Terrible. Foul stench is what that is. Ugh. The NFL draft is coming to Kansas City. They've cleaned up the city. I saw a story that Grandview has decided to clean up. Grandview, nice work. They put all their crews out there. They're picking up trash. They're cleaning everything up. Who working the NFL draft is going to be in Grandview? I love you, Grandview. What does Grandview have to do with the NFL draft at Union Station? I mean, maybe they're thinking some people are going to be driving through Grandview on their way. If they're coming in from out of town, I don't know. Everybody around town is cleaning up because the draft is coming. Have we lost our minds? Are we overvaluing the NFL draft? Seriously, $100 million in economic impact, we buying that? And everybody everywhere is putting on a fresh coat of paint and cleaning up our city? Hey, if that's what it takes to get us off our duffs, to clean things up, good enough. Cleaning things up is a good thing. If we've got the money and the wherewithal to do it, let's do it. I like Kansas City being clean. I like trash being picked up. I'm for all that. It does seem a little shallow and embarrassing that it's the NFL draft that has municipalities cleaning up around Kansas City. It's a little strange. The news story is out. I mean, I got three or four things here that could have been the lead story today. My thoughts on ownership of the Royals could have been the lead. This could have been the lead. And maybe it will be. Maybe I'll reemphasize this because we're not going to spend a lot of time on it today. Emergency crews have plans for the NFL draft, along with the Kansas City, Missouri police, the FBI, and the National Guard. They'll all be there. Once again, massive amounts of emergency crews, the Kansas City, Missouri police, the FBI, and the National Guard will all be at the NFL draft. Or, the only thing I could think of when I was reading this story, more than we had at the Capitol on January 6th. Honest to God truth. You listen to this podcast for the truth. That's the main reason you listen. Kansas City is going to have more support on hand for the draft than Nancy Pelosi had for Trump's speech down the street from the Capitol building on January 6th. That's a fact. That's a fact. Now, we know the FBI was there on January 6th because they were infiltrated basically as instigators. We know this. I don't know about the Washington, D.C. police. We know the Capitol police were there. I'll assume there were some Washington, D.C. cops around there. They didn't want the National Guard. They didn't want any military. Nancy Pelosi turned it all down. Not the NFL, not Kansas City. We'll take it. This crowd's going to stay under control here at the NFL draft. How about that? The NFL draft in Kansas City has more security than Nancy Pelosi wanted at the Capitol building on January 6th. They wanted, again, what you have to know about Democrats is they want this stuff. They want the right to react and be violent. They want us. They want white people to shoot black people. They want Trump voters to storm the Capitol. They want conservatives to do violent things so they can use it against us. And they set situations up to where it will look worse than it is. That's exactly what happened at the Capitol. They're smarter. They're smarter. And the scariest thing about the Elon Musk interview with Tucker Carlson is he said, listen, Democrats are better at this stuff than Republicans. They're going to find a way to use AI to win elections. Artificial intelligence. They're going to find a way for artificial intelligence to win for them because they're way ahead of us. Just what you didn't want to hear. Our final coming up, brought to you by Cross Kitchens KC, Kansas City's remodeler. Whether it's a kitchen, a bathroom, a man cave, or a simple floor remodeling or countertop replacement, Tim Cross and his family love to work for you. CrossKitchensKC.com. Call 816-898-7047. And my friends at Joslin's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch in Overland Park. Dave and Cameron are there every single day. Mention the podcast when you go in. You're going to feel like family anyway. They're all non-commissioned. It's a great way to go. Joslin's Jewelry, the jewelry you'll recommend to your friends and family. Our final comes from Toronto. The Blue Jays have a pitcher named Anthony Bass. Anthony Bass is a relief pitcher, and he's pretty good. He started out pretty slow, but he's been pretty good. He's been pitching for about 10 years now or longer. Made a lot of money. His life has changed a lot over 10 years. You know, people change when they get a lot of money. And it seems like Anthony Bass's life has changed dramatically over 10 years. He got married to Sydney. 5 years ago, they had their first child. 2 years ago, they had their second child. She's 5 months pregnant now. And they're lucky. They get to fly around the country and see their dad play baseball because they got a lot of money and they do things like that. And they were flying on United this past week. And the little 2-year-old girl had a little bag of popcorn. and you don't really give two-year-olds the bag. What you do with a two-year-old is you put a couple pieces on the tray, or if they're goldfish or, you know, little crackers or something, you give them three or four at a time and see how it goes. They start throwing them, you got a problem. This two-year-old just said to hell with it and started spraying the bag all over the place. There's popcorn all over the floor of the airplane. Now, my first reaction is, why would you give a two-year-old a bag of popcorn? They're claiming that the airline had popcorn bags and gave it to the two-year-old. I ain't buying that. It still had to be given to the parent. No flight attendant is handing a bag of popcorn to a two-year-old. I've never heard of popcorn on an airplane. I've never seen that. Maybe you have. I've not seen it. I've seen peanuts, pretzels, snack mix, Biscoff, all kinds of things, cheese crackers, all kinds of stuff. I've never seen popcorn on an airplane. I love popcorn. Never seen it, but whatever. So most people are on the assumption the mom gave the girl popcorn, shouldn't have done it. The flight attendant comes by with a wet wipe and a bag and asks the mom, could you pick some of this popcorn up? It's in the aisle. It's under the seats. People are going to walk and trample on it. The mother gets down and starts picking it up. But then they post this on social media that they were forced to do this. This is a baseball player's wife. They're gazillionaires. She is also the sister of Jesse James Decker, who's married to the former football player Eric Decker, and she's a country singer, and she's a spoiled, rotten gazillionaire as well. It's one thing to have money. It's one thing to be prissy, spoiled, rotten, social media, look at me. You know the type. You know exactly who I'm talking about, and that's who these people are. So this five-month pregnant woman is down on the ground picking up this popcorn, and now there's outrage that she's pregnant and on the floor of an airplane and picking it up, and people are responding going, oh, yeah, like five-month pregnant women can't bend down to the ground and pick things up? Really? So all hell breaks loose, and this baseball player goes to social media, and he's got a bunch of people that follow him. Anthony Bass is like slamming United Airlines, just blistering the flight attendant. And my wife was crying, and she was distraught, and it was embarrassing that people saw her on her hands and knees picking up popcorn. This is lower than any baseball player's wife should be. My first thought is, who has a two-year-old on an airplane that makes a massive spill? Not a couple of goldfish, right? Crackers fell on the ground. Okay, I get it. Well, I'll wait till I get up to go to the bathroom and I'll try to pick them up. This was popcorn flung everywhere. Who has a two-year-old that does that and doesn't immediately start trying to clean it up? That's my question, because I would have done it immediately. I would have immediately said, oh my God, my kid just made a terrible mess. I'm unbuckling. I'm getting out. I'm taking the bag away from my kid, and I'm starting to put the popcorn back in the bag. I'm not waiting for a flight attendant. I'm at least getting what's in the aisle. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't most people? Immediately. Wouldn't you be so embarrassed by your kid that you'd immediately want to start cleaning it up? Who, in front of 150 other people on an airplane, would let their two-year-old make a mess and then tell the flight attendant, that's your problem? And this idiot baseball player on social media, when he got blasted back by people that you people are spoiled rotten, he said, it's the cleanup crew's responsibility after the flight to do it. What? That dude's flown on way too many charters and treated way too many people on those charters like crap. Guess what they get on the Toronto Blue Jays charters? They're drinking fancy scotch, steak and lobster, and the people on board are at their beck and call, and I'm sure they tip them on those private flights. These guys are all gazillionaires. They are in a world where they don't clean their own shoes. They got a clubhouse kid that shines their shoes up for them every day and does this and that. This is the worst of American society. Your two-year-old goes crazy on an airplane, popcorn everywhere, and you think the flight attendant should clean it up? And if not, then when the flight lands and everybody's off the airplane after it's all been trampled and made worse, that the cleaning crew should come in and do it. Wow, dude, you need to look in the mirror, man. And your wife and her sister are nuts. You're all crazy. He is so happy with United now because United has informed him they're going to address this with the flight attendant. They're going to take care of it with this flight attendant. Like the flight attendant's the bad person. Wow. Jeez. Ugh. That flight attendant does not deserve any trouble at all. And it is a parent's responsibility anywhere when your kid makes a giant mess like that to try to clean a little bit of it up. Even in a restaurant. If it's out in an aisle, clean it up. I understand you got a little baby. Some stuff falls down under the baby seat and goes down between it under the table or under a booth or whatever. And they got people that come out and clean that up in a restaurant. I get that. But you got kid flinging food out into the walkways and stuff in common areas. You better get out there and start picking it up. Oh, the baseball player, Anthony Bass. Is his name Anthony Bass? His wife, Sydney, is something else, man. She ain't cleaning up after a two-year-old. I am married to a Major League Baseball pitcher. Do you know who I am? Ma'am, do you know who I am? My husband pitches a baseball for a living. You pick it up. He's a baseball player, ma'am. I am not picking that up. We have people for that. And I bought this ticket and you're my person for that. Pick up after my kid. Good God. Woo! There you have it, folks. Some of the worst of us in our society. Sorry. Couldn't avoid it. On this episode of KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.